Now, I would like to address the subject of the art of preaching. And in the beginning, I would like to say that I am for preachers. I try to pray for preachers. I try to support preachers with my finance. I try to support preachers with a good word. However, I would like to say, in the light of what Christ said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm sorry to have to say this, but according to the scriptures, I fear that many men that claim to be preachers of the gospel are not God's called preachers of the gospel. There's various reasons why that I can state that statement with truth and with love. But anyway, what is preaching? Preaching is the discourse of divine truth from a man to men with the force and power of persuasion. And it's doing so under the unction of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now notice I say and emphasize it's under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Now a man might be skilled with oratorical skills and can paint beautiful word pictures, and that within itself is a wonderful thing. But if he does not have the anointing of the Spirit of God, it's not a God-called message. It might be beautiful to the ears. In fact, there are men that are preachers that are man-pleasers. They preach things that tickle the ears. The Bible verifies that. And what does that mean? It means they're preaching things that are pleasing to man. Man in his condition of lostness, yet feel liking that he's right with God, when in actuality he is not right with God. Now, how does that fit in with that verse, the blind shall lead the blind, and they both shall fall into the ditch? The Bible said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. Doesn't that sound like a preacher? Shall come in the name of the Lord, saying, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am of Christ. But many shall follow their pernicious or crooked ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, there's various wonderful things that could be said about the art of preaching. Homiletics is the ability to rightly divide the Word of God. There's various types of preaching. But let me first say that context is the principal rule of exegesis. If you want to rightly divide the Word of God, then you need to understand about context. Now, there's literary context. It deals with what are you actually reading when you read the Bible. And I'm not talking about some perversion of the Bible, but I'm talking about the King James Version of the Bible, and not the New King James. I'm talking about the literary context. What are you reading? Is it poetical? Is it parable? Is it allegory? Is it oracle? Is it prophetic? Just what are you reading when you read the Bible? You need to understand that. Also, there's historical context, and there's very much confusion in the church world today over prophecy. When is he coming? How is he coming? But that's not God's will that that confusion exists. And that's another reason why that I raised the subject in the beginning, that many that say they are called of God to preach the gospel are not called of God to preach the gospel at all. Many of them are mama called and papa sent to some seminary. And they're taught in the doctrines of men and in the theories of men. And when the truth of Bible holiness appears before their eyes, they are taught to wrest the scriptures, take them out of context, to justify carnality in their lives. And this is not the proper way to understand the art of preaching. preacher is to preach the gospel without money, without price. Many of these television preachers are like unto this. My name is Jimmy. I will take all you give me. And they've got gimmicks. And they make all kinds of pie-in-the-sky promises. If you'll just send in your offerings, they say, if you'll just do this and you'll do that, God's waiting to bless you immensely. And they're making merchandise. The Bible condemns that. They're making merchandise out of the gospel of Christ. And that is not a God-called preacher that makes merchandise out of the gospel of Christ. Yes, there's the possibility he could have been God-called, and then he gets his eyes on the dollar instead of on the blessed Lord of glory that died on the cross to redeem him and to preach the everlasting truth of the gospel. Now, there's doctrinal preaching. There's ethical preaching, do's and don'ts. There's exhortation, and there's various types of preaching. There's expository preaching, that's expounding verse by verse the wonderful Word of God. And I say again, there are preachers that can actually be correct on part of what they're preaching and then be so wrong on other parts and arrest the Scriptures, taking them out of context and promoting false doctrine instead of true doctrine. And that's the reason that we have so many different beliefs of religion today across this town and around this county and in the radio audience and all around the United States and all over the world in general. And it's not God's will. It's God's will that they preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come, and it's here now, that they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers that'll tickle their ears, itching ears, tickle their ears, say things to please man instead of pleasing God. A preacher that's God called will not just do it to lambast and to condemn, but he will do it in the love of God with the compassion of the Spirit of Christ in his life under the unction of the Spirit of God to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to warn men and women and boys and girls to flee the wrath of God which is to come. Sin will never enter in. God help us today. If we make allowance for any sin, we're not doing what God wants us to do as true ministers of the gospel of Christ. It is a holy and a clean and a saved, sanctified, Spirit-filled life that God is demanding and commanding and offering to humanity. And if a preacher doesn't believe that and doesn't rightly divide the Word of God, he's a false prophet. God help us today. It's going to mean everything to make that beautiful city that we heard about this morning with Brother Harold of the Sunday School lesson. Now, a preacher must be a bishop, the husband of one wife. Say, well, that's just one at a time. Polygamy's forbidden. Yes, polygamy's forbidden. And I'm telling you, any religion that's started by polygamous men that's got maybe two or three wives, maybe a dozen wives, maybe one wife and several concubines is a false prophet. And God have mercy upon America today. God help us today, but once you're in grace, you're always in grace. No, you're not in grace, preacher. When you divorce that wife, get your eye on the piano player, as it were, and take off with her and leave your wife, you're a disgrace. You're not in grace. You're a disgrace. God help us today. The blind leads the blind. People justify sin on the left hand and on the right hand. And they say this is all right and that's all right, and preacher so-and-so says it's all right. I'm telling you, it's not what preacher so-and-so says, but it's what the Bible rightly divided from Genesis to Revelation says. We must give an account to God for the Word of God, and we must realize that we're judgment-bound people, and judgment must first begin at the house of God, and if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of Christ? Oh, friend, it's a serious thing to be a preacher of the gospel. A lot of these preachers will hack and haw, be called of God to preach. You know, a lot of preachers will have so many amens in the sermon that they'll be saying, amen, sinners are dying and going to hell with a million, thank you, Jesus, amen. Well, that's out of context. We know what the poor thing means, but he's not saying it right. Oh, I know that I'm not perfect in complete knowledge. I know I don't have a full, complete revelation of the Word of God, and be leery of any preacher that has a spirit or an attitude that he knows it all about the Bible. I'm telling you, the secret things still belong to the Lord our God, but those things which he has revealed unto us belong unto us and unto our children, that we might know how to be acceptable in his sight, that we might live godly in this present world, that we might eschew evil, that we might put on the whole armor of God, amen, that we might be ready when the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I say again with all humility, there's a lot of men that claim they're preachers, and God's not called them at all. That's the reason there's so much confusion. That's the reason. And the Bible warns us, and there's a great religious movement that forbids their ministers or priests to marry. And the Bible plainly said that in the last days that would happen, said they would forbid to marry. Well, now, forced celibacy is not scriptural. If you become a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake, in consecration and dedication to his holy will, that's great. If you become a eunuch so that you won't live a life of adultery or fornication, that's wonderful. But to be forced into something, I'm telling you, that's one reason why we have so many of these ministers committing homosexuality with altar boys. God help us today. If we aren't in the last days, we need to flee the wrath of God which is to come. Jesus is coming, and he's coming like a thief in the night. He's not a thief, but he's coming unexpectedly. And many people are not really truly looking for him. They're looking, since Thanksgiving's passed, they're looking for Christmas. They're looking for Santa Claus. They're looking for the ball game. They're looking for the races. They're looking for this, and they're looking for that. And they're seeking pleasure rather than seeking God. Many people are doing those things. And there's many things going on in the world today. But oh, God, help us to awake, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. God, help us to realize that we are eternally bound, and that we shall give an account to God himself in a little while. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's going to be everything to be ready. Yes, there's historical context, and that's one reason we have so many different ideas on when the Lord's coming. They're not taking it in historical context like it actually reads in the Bible if it's rightly divided from Genesis to Revelation. They'll take part of the scriptures to try to explain the whole of the scriptures. And that's a terrible mistake. The only way you can rightly divide the Word of God is to take all of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to rightly divide the parts of the Bible. If you just take the parts of the Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. And another verse somewhere else said, go and do thou likewise. Well, suicide is self-murder. And no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You see how people take the Bible out of context. And yet there's men, even preachers, that'll say, well, even if you commit suicide, if you're once in grace, you're always in grace. I say again, that's a lie from hell. You're a disgrace. You've killed yourself. You're a murderer. And unless you had a chance to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for what I've done, I'm telling you, friend, it's a serious thing to preach the gospel. In fact, I can give you a scripture that tells us that being called to preach the gospel is the highest call that any person could ever have. Oh, yes, it is. Say, well, I'd like to be the mayor of the town. Well, I'd like to still be a little preacher over on Jarnigan Avenue, preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ and pleading with men and women to flee the wrath of God, which is to come. You say, well, I'd like to be the governor. Well, I'd still like to be a little preacher over here preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'd like to be the president, or I'd like to be a great banker and have millions and billions to loan to nations. Well, I'd like to preach the gospel without money and without price. And I'd like to just be able to tell folks there's a God that sent his son on a divine commission to bleed and die for humanity and give himself a ransom for many to be testified in due time. Yes, they condemned Jesus when he was upon this earth. Yes, and woe be to you, preacher, or anyone else when all men speak well of you. There'll be folks that'll actually not speak well of me. Yes, there will. There'll be folks that'll condemn me and say I'm not a God-called preacher. But if ever I know the Bible, they said the same thing about Jesus. They said awful things about Jesus. Yes, they did. And they condemned him. And who primarily did that? It was the religious Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes and the lawyers of the law of God in that day that were jealous of Christ. And the things that Christ was telling them that was condemning their ungodly lives and that they did not want to receive. But oh God, help us today to preach the gospel without money or without price and to pray for lost souls everywhere that men might repent, that they might believe the gospel. The only way you're going to be saved, you say, well, studying the stars, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll do the rabbit's foot, and I'll do good deeds, and I'll knock on wood, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, or I'll join the church, or I'll be baptized. Well, friend, there's many a person that's been baptized that's not saved. You need to be saved before you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son. Don't leave the Trinity out now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. That's what a preacher should do. Teach people to observe all things whatsoever Christ has commanded. Father, we pray today for souls across radio land and here in this assembly at 332 Jarnigan. Be with the dear ones in death and trouble and sorrow and pain, and help souls to pray and to seek earnestly the man of God that will tell them the truth, to point them to the Lamb of God, to seek earnestly the Savior's will in their lives for salvation's sake. Amen.